Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Hi there, welcome to this podcast on Safety School. What I wanted to do on this one was, because it's 2020, we're starting off a new year. I know a lot of you will have plans on what you want to achieve for the year, setting your goals and your sights on how you want to progress, or if you're just trying to break into the HSE sector at all, or maybe you're in a job and maybe you want to increase your level of responsibility when it comes to health, safety or environment, and you don't really know how to go about it. We do have a blog post already that has 11 strategies to break into the HSE sector on it. So I just wanted to do a bit of an audio version on that and just add it into that blog post, just to give you a bit more value, make it a bit more easier for you to consume that piece of content. So what I'm going to do is going to rattle through those 11 strategies that I think can help you break into the HSE sector, and a lot of them will probably be transferable to other sectors and other areas that you might want to dip your toe into as a means of progressing your career. Just before we fire ahead with this episode, I wanted to take this quick opportunity to let you know about the free risk assessment video training course that's now available over at safety.com. The course was created by ourselves, chartered health and safety professionals, and you can join thousands of other students around the world in taking advantage of this amazing resource completely free. You can find it very easily, we hope, by visiting safety.com and clicking on the course tab in the top right hand corner, and we really look forward to hearing your feedback on the course. Oh, and one more thing, if you are looking for professional health and safety templates, real life examples and guidance, I'm excited to let you know that you can now visit Safety's online shop over at safety.com, where our only aim is to help you accelerate your health and safety performance in your business. Okay, now let's get back to it. So let's get started. The first one that I want to mention is, and it comes as probably a contentious one for a lot of people. I think nowadays it's something that's a lot of the time it's just overlooked because people just don't want to consider giving their time for free, and that is to consider volunteering. You may not want to hear it, but you have to give your free time up sometimes to get your foot in the door and just be able to put yourself in front of the right people and demonstrate for an organization that you're really willing and motivated to learn and also to help. And by doing volunteering, that is the ultimate way to do it. It's a means of setting yourself apart. So if you're sitting on the fence at the moment thinking, I'm not sure if I want to give my time up without being paid, I mean, that is a default position and it's easy for people to do that. But you have to ask yourself, you know, if I'm just like everyone else and won't give my time up for free, is it going to help me? The answer to that question is most likely no. So therefore, you have to make that break. If you have zero experience or very little experience, it's very often the first move you need to make is to give your time for free. And that's something that we all have an abundance of. So maybe it's just about changing your mindset towards that as a means of opening up doors. The second thing to think about, and it leads on from volunteering, I think the two are linked quite strongly as well, is to think outside the box in terms of what might be suitable for you to build your experience. For example, it's quite easy to get paid roles with event management companies which require stewarding for music events or, you know, some types of sporting events and that type of thing. And the responsibility that you end up having with these types of roles, albeit you wouldn't think necessarily that it's a safety role or a health and safety role, you are actually responsible for ensuring the safety of the public attending these events. So not only can you use the likes of that as a means of demonstrating your experience, but once you show your enthusiasm when you do have an opportunity to go into these positions, that you may be offered more opportunity to develop within these roles in a way that you maybe previously hadn't realized. So you may be able to get some extra training as part of your role if you use your initiative. The next step then is to look at getting a mentor. That is just building a relationship with someone who is a little bit further on their journey than you are. So you know, do you know or can you get in touch with someone who has begun an HSE role recently and start communicating with them about their development and how they're moving along their journey and how they got to where they are? Do you know an existing health and safety or environmental manager that you can reach out to and start having communication with and help in some way? And often, you know, you can actually help them as much as they can help you. And as well as that, once you do establish that relationship, then if any internship, either unpaid or paid, comes up in the near future, or any sort of administrative duties need to be taken care of for projects, for example, you will be the first in line to hopefully get offered those opportunities. So that in itself can really open doors. And of course, people within those roles will have a network of similar professionals as well. So don't underestimate the power of that. If you're interested in mentorship and want to hear a bit more about it, I would advise you or encourage you to listen to our safety podcast episode with Hugh Maxwell, who was voted the Mentor of the Year with IIRSM in 2019. And we had him on the safety podcast to discuss what mentorship meant to him. And I've embedded it into the blog post related to this podcast as well to make it easy for you to listen to. So check that out and hopefully it'll give you an idea of what benefits you can find through mentorship. The next useful tip, and this may seem like a big step for some, is to become a trainer. And when I say that, I don't mean a fully fledged, you know, trainer who does nothing but deliver courses or workshops like some of us do here at Safety. But actually just ask yourself, has there been an opportunity for me to deliver training in-house? Even things like inductions, if you have a construction project or a construction site, small bits of training like that are very much useful when it comes to getting yourself in front of an audience. And whether the content is directly health and safety related or not, then these are great transferable skills when it comes to communication and training of the workforce, raising awareness and so on, that much of health, safety and environmental work and management is based around the coordination and provision of training. And if you can be part and parcel of that and able to help a business with that, then you're going to be a valuable asset. So one thing I would say is that a lot of the time it does help to get an actual course or training qualification, such as train the trainer, when it comes to being able to deliver courses. But this isn't always necessary. It's more about giving you the confidence and developing the confidence to deliver the content to an audience, and that will be attractive to potential employers. So ask yourself, are there opportunities out there? Have you already done it? Or what can you do to get yourself in front of an audience and build up that skill set? The next one then is a bit of a shameless plug, and that is to join the safety community here, because we have hundreds of HSE professionals that are within our community and our network. And once you start communicating with not only myself, but those around me and our business, and all the interaction and communication that we do, then that will open doors for you, get you speaking to a huge range of professionals across various sectors. And you'll not only get knowledge from them, but you may get introduced to different ways of thinking, to different people that you otherwise wouldn't speak to. And of course, the people that we bring onto our podcasts, you can network with them. And, you know, without exception, they're always very, very keen to speak to people who are genuinely interested in whatever it is they're talking about or whatever it is their specialism is. So look, it's a no-brainer. Join our community. Make sure that you're, you know, getting up to speed with all the content we're producing and linking up on LinkedIn with the people that we have on our podcast. A major part of our mission here at Safety has been to, from the very beginning, to help HSE professionals and also those that are just trying to get in and make a break in the profession itself, as well as helping business leaders. So look, take advantage. This is my call out to you. Take advantage of our networking opportunities that we have by joining our community, joining us on LinkedIn and getting involved in the conversation. And as with most things in life, you will get out of it what you put in. The next one then is just using your existing job. So one thing to remember is that it may be much easier to gain experience as part of a role that you already have initially before then graduating to a full-time HSE role down the line. So you have to ask yourself the question, does your current job offer any opportunity to take on further health and safety or environmental responsibilities? For example, if your company needs support with risk assessments, needs a fire warden or a first aider, or requires regular internal inspections for anything like racking or, you know, machinery or anything of that nature, then it's just a case of putting your hand up, making sure that you're involved in that, and showing your eagerness and your willingness to add value and become part of that process. This type of stuff is really a great start, and it's where a lot of HSE professionals begin their journey towards being asked to take full-time responsibilities. And you'll be surprised how thankful your employer is when you genuinely step up and ask to do these tasks, because a lot of the time it's extra responsibility that people do not see the reward in. Once you demonstrate that you are both eager and can be depended on when delivering these small tasks, then obviously that lays a foundation for you then to build upon your skill sets and hopefully ask your employer to support further training down the line. Once you've established that level of trust and shown your ability to deliver on these HSE tasks for your employer, whoever it is you're working alongside, then that is a good point from which to start testing the water and asking questions around more formal training. And there's a multitude of various providers and options out there when it comes to training. So you need to think about, you know, what is suitable for you. Start small, build it up, and think about the long term. What's going to benefit you? How can you build on your already current experience, and what will really pay you the most dividends in the future as you move forward? The next thing to remember is to ensure that you're fully demonstrating the experience that you already have. Lots of people try to make their way in an HSE career, and they may have qualifications and still are having no luck and not having success. Or if they don't have formal qualifications, they're not able to communicate well enough just their level of experience and the suitability of the experience that they have. And this is just about breaking down what you've already done and really thinking about, how can I demonstrate that this shows my willingness or ability when it comes to health, safety, or environmental management? And a lot of the projects that you've already been involved in probably have layers of HSE management integrated into them already. And it's just about pulling those aspects out and demonstrating how you have actually performed. So, you know, don't make it too broad brush. Make sure that you're fully leveraging the experience that you already have and using little case studies to demonstrate that you can deliver projects safely, for example, or that you've went above and beyond to help a project get over the line and be done in a responsible way. So ask yourself those questions. Can I demonstrate? Am I demonstrating my health and safety experience fully here when I'm applying for a job? Or do I need to completely revise my CV or resume to reflect that? A little tip here is just to make sure that you're giving yourself full credit for what you've already done. And sometimes when we're reflecting back upon what we've done previously, it's hard to actually pull out the health, safety, or environmental relevance in the industries we've worked in. What I would suggest from this point of view is to actually look at some of the roles you've done in the past and go on to some job websites like Indeed.com, for example, and look at similar roles that are advertised to what you've actually done, and look at the job responsibilities under those, because for the most part, there's usually going to be health and safety responsibilities of some kind, and that will give you triggers to actually go, okay, that is something I was already doing and maybe I hadn't realized it. And you can take those little pieces of information and start integrating them into how you're doing your cover letter or your CV for whatever you're applying for. And it's really important to identify these skills and pull them out and make them as specific to HSE as possible, and hopefully that will help you. Okay, our 10th point here on our 11 points, we're nearly at the end, is just to be persistent. As with anything in life, if you don't persist, you won't succeed. If you fail, you need to keep trying. And each positive step that you make and each piece of learning from failure is going to be another step towards getting that eventual success. So don't let any, you know, setbacks become a negative for you. Use your failures as learning outcomes and motivation to keep improving, and ensure you're reaching out to those with experience for help where you can get it as well. Anyone who has ever been successful within any career, let alone just HSE, has usually failed more than once along their journey. So you will probably be no exception to that. The important part is how you respond to it. Remember as well, any course that you complete or experience you gain is an investment in your own personal human capital, and that will be an asset going forward to whoever it is that you're employed by. Our 11th and final point is something that transcends some of the points that we've already made here, and that is that you have to get social. And when I say get social, I mean get on social media, get networking, grow and engage your HSE related network, as we've already discussed in some of the points previously. One of the major platforms to do this on at the moment, and it's increased in its effectiveness as a content platform and its popularity in the last couple of years, is LinkedIn. We do have a blog post to give you 10 tactics to help you get better at using LinkedIn, which you can find on this blog post. There's a link to that. But to help you even further, we did a podcast with Laura Alcott from the HSE Recruitment Network, who is a specialist within the HSE field, of course, when it comes to recruitment. We had a chat with her about the things that she feels are important for people in the HSE jobs market. So I think that's one for you to really listen out for. It's embedded in our blog post as well. So please take the time to listen to that. Hopefully that will set you up really well for 2020. And I'd like to wish you all the best of luck. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety, and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.